This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to PTPN's NBA Team Podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Andrew Reich. I am joined by Adam Murray. Adam, the first round is done. A little bit of fun there. I know that you got a little bit of fatigue going on with how many the play-ins and the play-outs. And then the first round had some go to six games, some go to seven. But there was some enjoyable stuff, and now we're just down to eight teams.
There wasn't much enjoyable stuff, I'd say.
Dude, the Miami over Milwaukee one, I know it's deja vu because we saw it in the bubble, but that was a shocker. I did not see the one seed going down in five games.
Yeah, nobody did. That was a complete shocker. But then Giannis got hurt, so that was sort of like, oh, that, yeah. Meh. Then you have...
The Kings-Warriors series was a thriller.
That was a bit surprising. You have Embiid getting injured, so it's just like, well.
Yeah, so you know what's funny about that? The ligament that he sprained, it's called an LCL. My wife actually sprained her LCL about a year ago. She was out for about 2 weeks. So.
And maybe she should not dunk for a bit then.
I don't know. She could outsmart. She outsmarts me in a lot of things. I don't know if she could outsmart me in basketball. We'll see. We'll have to put that to the test. We just renewed our YMCA subscription for the summer. But anyways, yeah. Like I think you kind of talked about it too with Giannis and Embiid. I mean, we didn't even mention De'Aaron Fox had the broken finger, and I'm trying to remember some other Ja Morant broke his hand right on a charge.
Tyler Hero broke his hand. And then Ja had a nasty fall.
But
it was just injuries sort of took away from a lot.
Right. And that's the biggest thing. And I know it sounds like a part of something from the no-duh department, but it's, you know, we always say this, you always have to say that phrase when you talk about, this will be, it's always barring injury. And I think at this point, the teams are so close together in terms of their quality and in terms of how they're put together and how good the top of the ladder is on these teams in terms of superstars and superstar pairings. I think, Adam, they're so close together now that health is just paramount. Like, you can't, like, be down one guy and be like, oh, we got this. Like, those days are over.
Kawhi was the one.
With the sprained knee, right.
We forgot. And then,
actually, you'll never believe this, Adam. The Clippers management lied. They said it was a sprained knee, but he actually tore his meniscus. Can you believe that they lied?
Well, you know, if you tear something, you sprain it as well. So
I'm being sarcastic because they were like, oh, yeah, remember 21? Knee sprain. He tore his ACL. Just
minor details.
Like, that's why I think Paul George tore his ACL. I don't think he sprained his knee. And they were just trying to hush it. But the Clippers are done. But some interesting stuff, high scoring. I kind of enjoyed the Nuggets-Wolves series a little bit because it showed to me what I knew all along, that Anthony Edwards is the star, Karl Towns is a glorified sidekick. But we'll talk about that when we go into our Gone Fishings later. But we're moving on.
Yeah.
And so let's just go ahead and go to the Eastern Conference. We talked a little bit about the Heat pulling off that upset. It's the same thing happened in the bubble where they built a wall around Giannis. Giannis actually got hurt at the tail end of that series. He got hurt in the beginning of game one when he took a pretty bad spill on a charge. You know, the Bucks did win game two, and then the Heat just – Jimmy Butler just willed them to victories. It was unbelievable.
Pretty much, and then Duncan Robinson decided to show up.
Mm-hmm. Kyle Lowry did too.
Yeah, they're nowhere all season, and then playoff come, and then, oh, yeah, here we are. But that is all done. We can talk about Milwaukee and the Gone Fishings and then the, you know, the angry pundits.
Yeah,
and...
I'll only say this. They've got a lot of questions to answer for the next year. That's all I'm going to say. But yeah, they're going to be moving on and playing the Knicks. I thought Cleveland was going to put a better fight against the Knicks than they did. I mean, were you surprised by how easily the Knicks kind of rolled them over?
Well, that's one of the, you know, the previews. Oh, yeah, Cleveland should win easy. Oh, yeah, they were completely disorganized and had no clue what they were doing. Oh, yeah, that's what happens when you
Evan Mobley stunk. Donovan Mitchell chucked up shots again like he always does. They didn't have any, like, glue guys like the Knicks have with, like, Josh Hart. Mitchell Robinson was really strong in the middle. I'm kind of interested in that matchup between Mitchell Robinson along with Obi Toppin behind him and then Bam Adebayo for the Heat, who's kind of, I mean, he's big and strong. He can rebound and block shots and everything, but he also is he's also a really good assist guy. He's he can actually kind of run point weirdly at times, so Jimmy can like pin people down and do that stuff. The Heat won 3 out of the 4 games. They had one great one where, if you remember, Julius Randle hit a game-winning 3 at the buzzer. Randle has got an injury issue as well.
Okay. I was just, you just had a strange pause there. And
yeah. Well, I was trying to think about what if Julius Randle being gone is actually that important, because, you know, without Randle, they actually played really well because they really started to focus with that the wing backcourt of Brunson and RJ Barrett quickly off the bench doing a little bit here and a little bit there. Like, they're actually kind of on a roll talking about the Knicks. And they
Randle out, that's really, you become a very small team, and then with, you know, you have Hart and Stein, and then again Mitchell and Mitchell Robinson and Obi Toppin, but then that's, they don't play tons of minutes though.
So no, but you might see a lot out of Mitchell this time, just like in the Cleveland series, because of the fact that Bam's going to be out there.
But you have to go small, and then going small, and you have Adebayo out there, he should just be lighting him up kind of easily. Mm-hmm. So I you know, this in the starting of the second round, you can't just give away games.
Mm-hmm.
And then I, you know, it's kind of one of those, well, you're, you know, they stole one at home, so now you have to win one at Miami, and you're sort of playing from behind at the beginning. And also, this isn't like the, you know, Miami, their records weren't that far apart. Miami always turns it on in the second half of the season. New mm-hmm. York turned on the second half of the season. So we all know this wouldn't be an easy finesse fight. So they're going to both beat the tar out of each other.
Mm-hmm. And then the best star, in my opinion, is definitely Butler. Like, even though the Heat kind of have to scratch and claw a lot, and their nucleus behind Butler is kind of like, it's kind of like the Knicks. The Knicks don't have a super duper star, but I feel like Butler is the one that can really rise to the occasion. Brunson's been great too. So maybe I'm taking him for granted. Do you think we'll see more Quentin Grimes, since they don't have Tyler Hero to basically, you know, chuck up the threes? They're going to be using a lot of Max Strus, but Strus defensively struggles at times. So, like, do you think they'll try to throw a lot of guards at the Heat and go small?
It's just going to be a physical battle, whoever goes at it. So I will say Miami in 6.
I'll say that the Knicks win in 7. I think this is going to go 7 games. I think it's going to be, I agree with you on this one. I think it's going to be a struggle. I think this is going to be similar to the one that the Heat had with Boston, where it's going to be a war of attrition, and just, it's going to just basically about who can survive the most unfortunate, like, issues like the injuries and foul trouble and stuff like that. And the games might be low scoring as well. So I actually do like the Knicks. I think the home court will get them through. So.
Yep. And now in the other one, two teams who have backed into their, into this round. In theory, no, because Philly.
Dude, you can't tell me that the 2 seed and the 3 seed backed into the second round. Like,
Boston backed in because
they struggled against the Hawks.
Abysmal against the Hawks. And then Philly is backing in because Embiid is out. And if you have Embiid out or limited Embiid, that is a big backing in.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, they look really good against Brooklyn. I know that some people say, yeah, well, Brooklyn's not that great. It doesn't matter. Playoff series, you know, the Bucks fans probably would have said the same about the Heat if they eliminated them. Yeah, you can't take anybody for granted.
It was an easy stroll, but again, if your best player is out, or your best player can only give you 50-60%, that's kind of backing in.
Well, the thing too is that, and I don't want to try to harp on this too much. I know I've talked about it before, and I know a lot of people use this ad nauseum, but it's true. If James Harden is the one that has to be like the linchpin of the offense in the playoffs, when they, when teams adjust on defense, that can be a real issue. Like, he has these issues. He has these moments where he just brain farts and he just has a stinker of a game when he has to come up big. I think that Embiid's going to push through. Remember, he's going to win the MVP. He's going to have a ceremony where he gets the trophy. I just got a feeling, Adam, that he's going to be ready by game two or game three, but game one, he will be out for sure. You know, so you thought though that because the Hawks got to push that series to six games, that that was going to be enough time for Embiid to get right. But I guess not.
And, you know, the Celtics, their problem is they've forgotten how to play defense at all.
Mm-hmm. That game five was fun. That game five was really, really good. But Jason Tatum has been absolutely rocking and rolling. The masked man, Jaylen Brown looks good. Brogdon looks good. I want to see what happens between Brogdon and Maxey. I think it's going to be fun. Like, their defense is really good on both sides. They're both good at guarding the three. And then the offense is good. And the net rating, the one thing that I do expect, though, to be honest, Adam, is that I think some of the games are going to be blowouts. Like, I got a feeling that if this goes six games, which I'll just say it now, I think the Celtics will win in six games. I got a feeling that some of the games are not going to be fun to watch because one team is just going to push way ahead of the other by making a big run in the middle of the game.
Quietly agree with you.
I mean, I like the Sixers. I actually picked them to go to the finals to start the season. But the Embiid injury is worrying. Like, it's worrisome. I agree.
That's why, again, they're backing into it. You can't be like all full charge, everybody go, when, oh, wait, we need to be sort of gingerly now, and I need to have backup plans in my mind.
Yeah, and then there's, I mean, Charles Barkley always says it, but it's true. Like, two things that you always have to look at when it comes to teams and comparisons: offensive rebounds and turnovers. Philadelphia is 27th. So if they don't have Embiid to pick up offensive rebounds, and they have to rely on like smaller bigs like Paul Reed, and then there's Montrezl Harrell, who's a bigger guy, but he's not what he was, you know, and that's going to be a problem if they can't get Robert Williams III in foul trouble, and the Boston bench is really good too. Like, it's just going to be, I just feel like some of those games are not going to be fun to watch just because one team is going to distance themselves from the other. But these are two excellent teams, and I would not be shocked if Philadelphia did win the series. I'll just go by default that the higher seed, Boston, will win the series in six. And you said the same, right?
Yep, fair enough. All right, let's move out west now to I don't know. This is a strange matchup. This is the team that went all in, and then you have Denver, who is just – really, number one seed hasn't shown much weakness.
No, they look great.
Just sort of an interesting matchup here.
Yep, the Nuggets and the Suns. So Jamal Murray. So when he started doing those breakouts against the Wolves, was there that moment where you thought to yourself, oh, there's bubble Jamal Murray again? That's the one who goes off of pick and rolls and just makes every shot in front of him in the fourth quarter.
Yes, you are. You're quite a fan of playoff Jamal.
I love Jamal Murray. I just like guys that are incredibly efficient to close out games. I know it's weird, Adam. I like guys who are good in the clutch.
Fair enough. So this is just sort of a... it's just going to be an offensive game because...
They were the two best offensive efficiencies in the first round, given it's a small sample size. But and they had only one opponent. You know, the Nuggets took care of the Wolves. And then the Suns beat a mostly Kawhi-less Clipper team. But, dude, like, the Suns had some games where they were... I know some of the games were close scoring-wise against the Clippers, but they were just rolling in on points. Like, Devin Booker had one game where he had, like, 47... Durant was just killing him. Chris Paul, dude, I'm gonna be honest, Adam. I know that he's important to like the makeup of their team in some ways on defense and on offense with assists and stuff. Sometimes I forget Chris Paul's on the team, to be honest.
He does tend to fall in the back, but with this team and this roster, he can easily do so.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to attack him on defense?
No.
No?
Because how can you attack him when sort of everything goes through Jokic? You can't attack him when...
Well, when you have a red-hot guard, it's easy.
You have a red-hot guard, but Jamal is just sort of off the pick and roll and off the, like you said, spotting up. It's not off the dribble and having a traditional... Denver hasn't done anything traditional, ever. Yeah. They're quite the unorthodox team with
Yeah, like, for example, say you get, like, Bruce Brown in foul trouble, or you get Murray in foul trouble. And so you're thinking, oh, well, they have behind them is Reggie Jackson and KCP. We could take advantage of that. Not really, because Jokic rarely gets in foul trouble, and he can basically just run the offense from the post. And then say you want Jokic to just be a passive player. Well, Aaron Gordon can go off for like 20 plus points and get a few rebounds and pass the ball a little bit too. They can mix up their defenses sometimes. Kevin Durant has just eaten on the Nuggets like every time they play. So I got a feeling he's going to go off as well. Booker and KD are basically doing like a not so talked about version of like Shaq Kobe, where they're just absolutely dominating like the box scores together. You know, yeah. I think Ayton is important though. I think Ayton has to have good games.
So then what's your prediction?
I like the Nuggets in seven games. Like, I think that the Nuggets, let me say this about the Nuggets. I know that some teams can make this claim over the last few years, because it feels like every team bounces everybody out over the last few years because we have all these different champions and different finals participants. But if you think about it, Adam, like, Denver has played everybody. Like, they played the Lillard's Blazers at their best. They played the bubble Lakers that won the title with AD and LeBron that's still alive in the playoffs. They played the Warriors. Now, did they win those series? No. They haven't been to the finals yet, but they've seen all these incarnations, and this is the best version of Denver for sure. That's why they were a one seed. They look strong. Phoenix has firepower, and Phoenix has urgency too. We talked about the fact that when they made that trade, you are basically saying we need to win now or the next year, or it's a failure. So I do enjoy the fact that Phoenix is going to push them. Like, even if Denver looks awesome at home, which they always do, the Suns are not just going to roll over at home.
No, I agree with you on Denver. Yeah. So then now we have our final matchup, and let's just quickly mention Memphis, who this is why sort of you just don't talk trash.
Dude,
it always backfires.
I heard this later. I didn't hear about this until later. Is it true that in game four, the overtime loss of the Lakers in LA, that they refused to talk to the media? Is that true?
I don't know. But Memphis,
that's really shitty. Yeah.
It's just one of those things, like, you have to. Playoff comes, you just need to shut your mouth and get your work done. Everybody who we're gonna do this. Oh yeah, I'm in their heads. It's just no.
And you don't tug on Superman's cape. I know that's cliche, but
you wind up looking like a clown. Superstars. You get embarrassed every time. It seems, and it's just like don't be that guy. And Memphis all season had that we're cocky, we're the two seed.
Yeah,
we're better than everybody. And then all of a sudden, oh look, you guys got. It was really.
I also think having Xavier Tillman primarily guard LeBron James was not smart. So maybe there was some coaching issues there. I mean, credit to Darvin Ham, the coach of the Lakers. They not only did they retool the roster with you know, bringing in Jared Vanderbilt and Malik Beasley, Austin Reeves gets more playing time, and he's been a godsend for them in the back half. But Ham did a lot of adjustments that really helped out. In terms of the way that they push and the way that they play defense, like defensively, I think the Lakers are a little better than people think. Like, their numbers say that, but remember, they also had that version with Russell Westbrook and Patrick Beverley and like a bunch of mishmash of guys that wasn't really working. By February and March, like, you could tell that the Lakers were actually going to be good. And they played in the play-in against the Wolves and had to go to overtime there. So their season, like, they're ready to go. And it's just, you just can't count out superstars. And they got two of them that are healthy. Health is paramount for Anthony Davis. Like, we talk about this all the time. Like, he looked great defensively in the first round. He always does. But, like, if he gets hurt and if he gets another ouchie, it might be a problem for LA. And their opponent will be the Golden State Warriors. This was a squeeze. I knew the Kings were going to give them trouble. They had the best offense in the league. But, you know, that's a championship pedigree. You know, they had to really drill some tough shots on the road twice to get past that first round. But are you worried, Adam, that, you know, that they had to really scratch it out in order to even get to the second round? They're the defending champions.
It took much longer than I thought it would. Mm-hmm. But then again, if you just, I don't know, you just get older, which is just, this seems to be the case. Nothing seemed to be wrong. The games they won handily. It's just like all, I guess, just Sacramento was just much more feistier than we thought.
Yeah, Jordan Poole was the only one, in my opinion, that really struggled in that series. Well, he's a guy who can get hot really quick, so we'll see how it goes against the Lakers. The one thing that's kind of interesting from a narrative standpoint is the fact that the Lakers won that 2020 title after the Warriors fell apart, you know, when Durant left. And so these are the teams that were basically, you know, back, like, they won those two titles right before things kind of changed over when Durant was gone. And it's kind of interesting because you didn't think that they would be able to hold on to that prestige for that long, especially the Lakers. The Lakers really kind of saved themselves with a trade deadline, with a couple trade deadline moves that really made them better. I think that was the difference between them being able to beat the Grizzlies. But the thing is that the age is definitely up there for both of these teams. And Anthony Davis hasn't had his big ouchie yet, so he's still healthy. LeBron has been efficient. And the Warriors are the Warriors. Like, so do you expect basically like the same type of scenario that you would have seen like 2 or 3 years ago between these two? Like, is it more of the same?
No, I just think this will be Warriors in 5-ish.
Okay.
Because
now the Lakers beat them three out of four times in the regular season.
Yeah, but the regular season, A, doesn't mean anything now, and B, you know, that doesn't really mean anything at this point.
Mm-hmm. Like, the offense is definitely, the Lakers' offense is better than we thought. They scored freaking 41 points on the Grizzlies in the third quarter of that closeout game. But the Warriors have they have the best offense remaining for the regular season in the playoffs now that the Kings got bounced. But defense is not a strength for either of these teams, and the three-point shooting is definitely in the Warriors' favor for sure.
That's why I say it'll be five, but it's not going to be an easy five. It'll mm-hmm. just be they happen to win by two, win by one, win in overtime. They squeak out easiest. You know, there's a difference between five and, well, they're lucky to get one, and yeah, this will be tough, but I think Golden State has the edge.
Do you have any fatigue from LeBron versus Curry again? Even though it's not Warriors-Cavs, it's Warriors-Lakers.
As I've mentioned, I just have fatigue of everything right now. the playoffs has just become fatigue. This is no different, but I think the Warriors should squeak this one out easily.
I would say I would agree on that one. I would say, though, it would go six games. I think, because the Warriors do have home court in this one, by a slim margin. I think the Warriors were what, the sixth seed, and the Lakers were the seven.
Like, yes,
it was really close. But I see six games for the Warriors in that one. It's going to be a fun series. It's going to get the highest rating for sure. The league is probably thrilled as hell that they got this matchup. But
no, they won't.
Why not?
Because the games will be on like 9 o'clock. East Coast isn't going to watch it.
Adam, who cares? Like, they got Curry versus LeBron. That was the one that got ratings gold in 16, 17, 18. Like, that's what they want. And they got it. They got it 3 years after the fact, but they got it.
Yeah, when you're putting Miami, New York at 7 and you're putting this the late game, yeah, people need to go to bed.
And that's it. Like that. I mean, we don't even have to talk about the NBA anymore. No. Like, are you almost at that point, Adam, where you're kind of looking forward again to the next one, which is the conference finals, which leads to the finals? Or are you kind of excited about some of these matchups?
I like Denver and Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably it. I don't want to see the Lakers.
Thank you, NBA expert Adam Murray, for being only excited about one of the four playoff series.
But it's just like when I get, you know, my ESPN alerts, well, what are the Knicks going to do? What are the Knicks going to make? They're, no, the Knicks aren't. I don't have a New York-centric page.
Dude,
like,
dude,
I don't want to hear only Lakers and only Knicks.
Dude, I'm going to tell you this, man. I'm going to have this weekend where the Knicks are playing the Heat, and I'm going to be thinking to myself, oh my God, I have homework for high school. I mean, for those who don't remember, now they did play in 2012 with the Heatles one time in the first round, but the Knicks and the Heat played each other every year for like 4 years.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
It was so, the Knicks and the Heat, and then it was what, Wizards and Bulls?
That's a really good question. Like on the Pacers played the Knicks a lot. And then in the West, you know, I don't know why I'm thinking this, but I felt like the Lakers played the Spurs all the time. Is that fair?
I don't know. I'm just still, you know, I have people at work who only watch Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith. So I have to deal with just general ignorance all the time. And I don't need to hear about the Knicks. I don't need to hear about the Lakers. There are other teams and other players.
Well, don't worry. Stephen A. is going to take the bag and go to Fox News, so don't worry about that. I'm joking.
That's, you know, I can't get excited about the Boston series because Boston is terrible, and it's one of those like, oh, they did not look good.
I think you're taking too much account into how they looked against Atlanta. Like, I think that's going to be. They're going to turn it on. I think they're going to flip the switch.
But that's what, you know, we have, you know, being a fan. Oh yeah, I know we. You know, all the other Celtics fans who are like, oh yeah, that was really bad. I am not looking forward to this. Philly can easily win.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's one of those, I'm like, oh yeah, let's go. So I don't have that. So there's that one. There's Miami and New York. Not really thrilled for either. I'm going to, like I said, I think I gave it to Miami.
Yes.
Yeah. I gave it to Miami just because this is what they do, but it's going to be, like I said, a knockdown, drag them out, slobber knocker. And I don't want to see 90 to 88 scores. And, you know, I like seeing offense once in a while. And then just, again, the Lakers.
Opposite. I actually kind of like it when the playoff games sort of constrict, where it's like, all right, now it's a war. I know some people don't enjoy that. Like, the scoring has, you know, been pretty crazy. It's shown that in the first round, too. We've seen some playoff series where it's just always in the 100s. But I do feel like game planning and coaching adjustments and things like that will creep in, and you're going to see some droughts where, yeah, games will go into the 90s to finish if they don't go to overtime. But I feel like it's going to be fun. Like there's going to be, there's a little bit of predictive matchups. Like if you just looked at it on Basketball Reference 5 years from now, you're like, oh, of course those teams played each other. They were the better teams all the time. But it's fun because they all have had like they've all dipped their toes into the finals in some way, shape or form, except for the Nuggets. But yeah, it's going to be fun.
All right, then. So for Andrew Reisch, I'm Adam Murray. Have a good one.
Take care.